Take your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, to the New Testament book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24. Going to look at three primary verses this morning. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42 through verse number 44. Trust you brought a copy of the Word of God. If you didn't, follow along with someone who did. Of course, I know in our modern era now, people even have their Bible on phone. And so however you got a copy of the Word of God this morning, take it and let's turn to Matthew 24 and verse number 42. Jesus teaches here, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." This morning I want to preach a message entitled, "Ready or Not, Jesus is Coming." Do you believe that Jesus is coming again? Amen. And are you ready for His coming? I know we just spent several weeks looking at the reasons why Jesus came the first time. But do you know that even when He was here on earth the first time, He talked about a time in which He would come again? For instance, in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 64, He said, "Thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." So Jesus was already talking about His coming again to the earth. And someday we realize that Jesus Christ is going to come. He said, "If I go, I will come again." Today we know that He is seated at the right hand of the Father. But one day He's going to come. And ready or not, He is coming. And so it's important for us as God's people to be ready for His coming. So I want you to notice with me and travel with me with your Bible in hand this morning and look at a few passages. For instance, we want to look first of all this morning at the subject of the future that Jesus talked about. He talked about it a lot. I mean, He talked more about this issue than it seems like any others. But here in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, and in Mark chapter 13, you read those three chapters and you will see that Jesus taught about His coming. He talked about what it is going to be like. He talked about the signs of the time and so forth, and how that troublesome times will come. And then He talked about the tribulation period. He talked about His coming to the earth. And He seemed to always conclude His teachings on His coming with this: "I want you to have a spirit of expectancy." He says, "I want you to watch and be ready. I don't want you to be caught unaware when I come." So Jesus spoke often of the future. In fact, Jesus rebuked people for not knowing the future. Did you know that? He rebuked people for not understanding it. He rebuked people for not knowing it. For instance, go with me to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 12. And I don't mean by this, when we look at this, that He wants us to understand every little nuance of the coming of Christ, because there's a lot in the book of Revelation and Daniel and so forth that can really cause us to scratch your head. But we notice in Luke chapter 12 and verse number 54, He says this: "And He said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass." Now know what He says, verse 56. "Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time?" Jesus was saying, you can understand what is going on with the climate, but you cannot understand, you cannot discern the things that deal with the future. How I'm talking to you, as He says here, about My coming again. And so it is not good for us, if you would, to be ignorant of the coming of Jesus Christ. I have, for about the last 5 years, been spending every month reading the book of Revelation. Now, the very word revelation means the unveiling of Jesus Christ, that he is going to come. Now, there's reasons why I read that book every month. You say, you ever get bored with it? No, I don't ever get bored with it. In fact, every month I get something new out of something that I missed the previous month. That's just how powerful the Word of God is. But that said, the book of Revelation talks about the time of the coming of the Lord and how that the church will be raptured and then the time of the tribulation period and then the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth to rule and reign on the earth. And he closes the whole book out by saying with a great prayer, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And so you and I don't need to be ignorant of the coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, I don't mean by that, church, that you need to be Bible scholars and really dive into prophecy and all of that. Because remember, in the book of Acts, that those disciples asked Jesus about, or the angel, you know, what about your coming and so forth. And Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, he says, but rather go and be witnesses. So, I'm not saying this morning that Jesus is teaching us that we have to understand all of the toes in the book of Daniel on the statue and all of that, but he is saying, you better watch and you better be ready. Because I am coming in such an hour as you think not. And so he wants us to understand that he rebuked people for not understanding or knowing the future in the sense of the fact that he is coming. Now go with me, if you would, to the book of John. And notice with me, if you would, in your Bibles, in John chapter 14. In John 14, notice in the first three verses, Jesus, when he talked about his coming, he would put it in the context of how it would apply in everyday life. Because sometimes this is what gets lost when we talk about the end times, when we talk about the coming of Christ, people will leave and say, man, that's fascinating, but how does that apply to my broken home? How does that apply to my everyday living where I'm at? And so Jesus here in John 14 says this in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So Jesus told them of the future so they could experience peace in the present. You see, the Bible teaches us that things are going to get worse and worse. There's nothing you and I can do, so to speak, to change that. That is a biblical truth. Things will get worse and worse. But you and I can have a peace in this present day, in this present moment, knowing that even though it's getting worse, praise God, God is on the throne, he's in control, and I can have peace in the present knowing that one day Jesus said, I'm going to come and you're going to be with me. So he says it gives peace. Notice in John chapter 16. In John chapter 16, notice verse number 1. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." Now look at verse 4. "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you." Jesus, in this context, was saying that there's going to come a time, and at that time, he's primarily speaking to his disciples. He says, there's going to come a time when they're going to deliver you up, and that is, they're going to arrest you, they're going to persecute you, and just cause all kinds of problems in your life. He says, but I don't want you to, quote, be offended. I don't want you to stumble at this. I want you to remember this. And so here, as Jesus was saying, here is what's going to happen when I come. He says, trouble will come, but don't panic. Don't panic. Don't give up. I'm reading a book right now called Outsiders. And what it is basically a book of church history of men that God used, and each chapter is dedicated to, like, a guy by the name of Martin Luther, some of these men, what we call church fathers, but men who would not be bought or sold, who would stand for the Lord regardless of persecution. And one chapter talks about a man who was burned at the stake, and while he's being burned at the stake, he is not wailing and crying, he's singing praises to the Lord. Because he would not bend, he wouldn't bow, he wouldn't burn, if you would. He says, I'm going to stand for God no matter what. And it cost him his life, yes. As I think about that, here Jesus is saying that trouble will come, but don't panic, don't lose your head over it. Notice, same chapter, verse number 33. Jesus says this to his disciples, and he says, these things have I spoken unto you, and that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You see, we all have different kinds of jobs, those of us that are still working. And the jobs that we have take us into different venues, and we work around some employees that will not think like we think, may not talk like we talk. They may tell off-color jokes. I don't know. But here is what I do know, that when in this everyday world, here you and I, we are Christians, we're to be salt and light in this dark world. And Jesus says, in the world you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. Because I have overcome the world. And so you and I, as we think about Jesus teaching on the subject of his coming, he's saying that this is how it can apply in your everyday life. I don't want you to panic. I don't want you to lose your head. I want you to have a peace about you. I want you to be strong in the time of trouble. I want you to rest in me. I want you to have a certainty that when it seems like everything's out of control, I have it all under control. Trust me. Now go with me to, if you would, the book of Revelation, just for a moment. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, and then I want to close out the message this morning by giving us some practical truth. How does this apply where I live even today? And go with me to Revelation chapter 1. Now I want you to notice, as Jesus taught about the future, why we should listen to him. Revelation chapter 1, and look at verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death, he's saying. This is who I am. Therefore, listen to me. Therefore, follow me. I am not going to come again and die. I will come one day and rule and reign on the earth. And so here he says, listen, take heed. So with that in mind, I want us to go back to our main text. Matthew chapter 24, and look at verse 42. Jesus in this context says, I want you to be ready. I want you to watch. And so how can we, in 2019, just a few days left of it, but as we prepare to go into 2020, how can we be ready for the coming of Jesus? Number one, we need to live with a spirit of anticipation. Notice again the word watch in verse 42. Watch therefore. And so Jesus is saying, I want you to have an anticipation about my coming, because I am coming again. There is nothing that's going to prevent Jesus from coming again. He is going to come. And he says, I want you to have an anticipation for my coming. Hey, remember Wednesday? I'll guarantee you your kids remember it. Yeah. Remember when you were a child and you knew Christmas was coming? And I realize some of you didn't really get many gifts because of the time and day in which you lived and grew up, and I understand that. But man, I remember, I told the teenagers this last week, I couldn't wait. There was, when I was a boy, the coolest gift I got that I can remember was my little Johnny Lightning racetrack. That was so cool, man. And I wanted to become a race car driver after all that. Obviously, I didn't, but man, I couldn't wait. I knew Christmas Day was coming. Back then, my dad would dress up like Santa Claus, and he would go in the neighborhood and go to certain people's houses and ho, 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 and all that business. Man, there was just so much excitement building up to that time, because to me, being a boy, hurry up, Dad. Read, look to, and let's get to the presents, you know? Come on, you with me? I'm not the only one that did that. But man, I tell you, there was an anticipation. I just couldn't wait. And when we got to the place, my girls did, where we started opening up some of the gifts because they couldn't wait. We started opening up some of them up on Christmas Eve. Then my wife got this great idea that we would buy we didn't do this every Christmas, but we did it for quite a few Christmases. We would buy one big gift. And I remember the first time we did it, the girls thought, oh, that's, you know, there's nine more. We give them quite a few gifts. That's it. My wife gets up, ha-ha. Hold it, I think there's something else. Man, their eyes got big. In comes the bicycles, all for the girls. And man, they were excited. They were pumped. It was just a great moment for us as a family at that point. But that anticipation that comes. But may I say that we ought to have a greater anticipation for the return of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Titus chapter 2, teaching us, that is the grace of God, that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. That word looking has the idea of an outstretched neck. You're just looking. Hey, this is it. Jesus is coming. Do we have that kind of spirit of anticipation? Jesus says, you better be watching. You better be anticipating. I may come today. I may come tomorrow. I may come 3 years from now. You don't know when I'm coming. And only the Father knows when I'm going to come. But I want you to anticipate. Look for my coming. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Anticipation. Do you have that anticipation? Secondly, here's another way we can be ready. We can be ready by way of adoration. You have your Bible in hand, go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, I want you to look at a couple of verses. 1 Peter chapter 1, and notice now, verse number 8. And verse number 9, the Bible says, whom, having not seen, think about this. I'm slowing down because some of you are still turning, and that's fine. I want you to get this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, whom, having not seen. I want to read the rest of this, but just think about this for a moment. Somebody cared enough to tell you of Jesus, right? And they said something basically like this, short synopsis. You're a sinner, you're lost. Because of your sin, someday you're going to die. But there's hope. Jesus died for you, rose again. And if you'll put your faith and trust in him, he'll save you. You made that decision, I made that decision. Now think about this. Think about that. We've never, ever seen Jesus. Never. whom having not seen. So 50 years ago for me, I put my faith and trust in someone I've never seen in my life. Never seen him. But notice this. Whom having not seen ye what? Wow, how can you love someone you've never seen? Keep tracking with me. Verse 8. In whom, though you see him not, yet believing, it's by faith, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Wow, church, family, think about this. Whom, having not seen, one day we're going to see him. One day we're going to look upon those nail-pierced hands. One day we're going to look upon those nail-pierced feet. One day we're going to see the one whom we've heard so much about. One day we're going to see him, as Fanny Crosby said, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? Jesus, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. In whom, having not seen, I love. Now, how do I express that love? I've been thinking about this week. Whom having not seen, I love him. My wife and I just recently went to Jamaica, and we were told by the person that provided the trip for us, when you get into Montego Bay, when you get off the plane, there'll be somebody there holding a card with your name on it. You go to that person and you follow them, and they'll take you through the airport and get you where you need to go and so forth. And so here I am, remembering what he said, just look for the person that has your name on a card. Sure enough, Lewis and Teresa Canaday and this tall Jamaican young lady, never seen her in my life, friendly, excited to see us, but I've never seen her in my life before that day, but I had an anticipation. You with me now? I was told by a source who provided the trip, look for the person with the sign. And I did just that. And we spent 4 great days together at the resort. It was a great time. But I'm thankful this morning that our God says, hold it. In my word, I've told you what to look for. Jesus said, I will come again. So if I'm going to live in anticipation of his coming, that means I'm going to have to be in the word. You see, I know quite a bit about D.L. Moody. You want to know why? I've never met D.L. Moody, but I know a lot about D.L. Moody because I've read a lot about D.L. Moody. I know a lot about Billy Graham for 2 reasons. I've read about him and I've heard him preach. I've never seen Jesus, nor have you. But get this, if Jesus came right now and took us into his presence, he, quote, won't be a stranger to me, because for over 50 years I've been reading about him. I've been getting to know him. I've been getting to fall in love with him. I've been just spending time in prayer and just thanking him for saving my soul. And one day when I look upon him, I believe I'll bow before him and say, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for saving me.
Amen.
Whom having not seen, I love. And if you're going to be ready for his coming, it's great to be saved. You know I know that. I preach that often. But listen, it's better for us to take it now to the other levels and spend time with him. Teresa and I have been married now 37 years. you know what? I don't have her figured all out. Any of you men that say you have your wife figured out, please see me. Okay? I want to learn from you. I don't have her all figured out. Bible tells me to dwell with her according to knowledge. You know how I get to know Teresa more? By spending time with her. You know how I get to know Jesus more? By spending time with him. You don't know how many times I hear people say, well, Pastor, man, I'm so busy. I don't doubt that for a moment. But take time daily to be in his precious word. And I'm going to tell you, when he comes, you won't be ashamed at his coming, as the Bible says, because, hey, you've been reading about him. Hey, you've been getting to know him. You've been spending time with him. And now you just can't wait. Most of my dating life with Teresa was long distance. Through the phone. Didn't have cell phones at that time. So I racked up a pretty good long distance bill. It's totally worth it. Look forward to those letters that came. But you know what I really look forward to? When I got the opportunity to be with her. I drive all night from Chattanooga to Michigan to go see her. Obviously a little younger then, but still. Was I tired? Yeah. But the excitement of seeing her just far outweighed the tiredness. I didn't really feel it, because I knew soon I was going to see the one that I loved. And I tell you, the longer I'm a Christian, the stronger my longing is to see my Lord. He's coming. He says, you watch, you be ready, you anticipate my coming, you adore me, you get your heart prepared, you love me with all of your heart. This is how we can be ready. Then there's one third way to be ready, and praise God, I know many of you already know this way, but I've got to mention it. Be ready by way of salvation. Back in our text here, Matthew 24, Jesus talked about in verse 40, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. In other words, when Jesus Christ comes, there will be those that sadly will be left behind. And why are they left behind? It's not because they weren't of the right denomination. That has nothing to do with it. It wasn't because they failed to live a good life. That has nothing to do with it. There's only one reason why people are left behind when Jesus comes. Because they were not saved. The Bible talks about in the book of Revelation and in Thessalonians that the church being raptured, taken out. The church is those who know Christ. Those who are not of Christ will be left behind to go through the time of the tribulation period. You don't want to be left behind. What's sad about that is that some that will be left behind will be people that sat in a church just like this and heard the importance of being ready, trusting Christ, and I got time for that. I'll do that later. And then they'll find out it's too late. I tell you this morning, while the Bible says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the time to be saved if you're not saved. Come to Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Today, if you're without Christ, come to Jesus. Because this is the only way you truly can be ready for His coming. If you're not saved, you will be left behind. And you will go through such trouble that the world has never seen before. You read the Bible, you study it, you'll find out that is true. And my friend, God loves you so much that now He knocks at your heart's door. Now He wants you to come to Jesus. Believe on Him and be saved. Do it before it's too late. If you're not saved, come to Jesus. So are you ready for the coming of Jesus? He's coming, ready or not, He's coming. Years ago, there was an old grandfather's clock that sat in the hall of a farmhouse. For many, many years, that old clock would just faithfully chime the time. One night, in the middle of the night, the clock began to chime the time. One, two, three, just kept going. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. The old farmer woke up and realized something's wrong with the clock. It just won't quit chiming the time. The old farmer listened for a while and gave his wife an elbow and said, wake up quick. And she said, why? What time is it? To which he said, I don't know, but it's later than it's ever been before. As I think about that illustration, I think of what the Bible says in the book of Romans. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Jesus Christ came over 2,000 years ago the first time. Our salvation is near now than when we believed. What time is it? It's time to be ready for His coming. Are you ready? Let's pray together. Now, Father, thank You for the great promise from Jesus. I will come again. He didn't say He might come again. He said He would. And help us as the church to be living in anticipation daily that this may be the day that Jesus will come. Help us to have that spirit of expectancy. Father, help us to not get so wrapped up in the affairs of our life that we fail to consider that each day, that this day may be the day that Jesus comes. Father, help us to spend time with You in Your Word and getting to know our Savior more and more so that when He comes, so to speak, He won't be a stranger to us. We, whom having not seen, we love, and we love Him because we know Him, because we've been spending time with Him in Your Word. And upon our knees in prayer, just getting to know Him more and more. And so help us to be ready. Father, for those that know not Christ, help them to realize that today, the way they get ready is to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, the one who died, the one who rose again, the one who is coming again. And today, may they cry out and say, Lord, save me. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Now, with their heads bowed and their eyes closed, I wonder this morning there'd be those here who say, Pastor, I'm not ready. If Jesus came today, I'm not ready. I don't know Him as my Savior. And today I want to be ready. Today I want to receive Him as my Savior. I want to believe on Him as my Savior. That's your need this morning. Would you lift your hand, rub your hand, say, yes, Pastor, I'm not ready, but I want to get ready. I want to know Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord of my life. If that's you, would you raise your hand, anybody at all, while we wait? Say, Pastor, I'm not ready. It may be this morning that And I never try to get people to doubt, but it may be today that there might be some that just may be doubting. I kind of think I am, but I'm really not sure. I want to nail this down. I want to be certain that Jesus is my Savior. Is there anybody here like that this morning? Just lift your hand up and put it back down while we wait. Anybody at all? And I wonder this morning, there'll be those here as Christians. Are you ready? Child of God, are you ready? Oh, the fact that you're a child of God, from that standpoint, you're ready. But are you watching with anticipation? Do you have a sense of expectancy? Hey, this may be the day. You're longing, you're looking. Say, Pastor, that's not me. Praise God, I know I'm saved, but I'm really not looking and longing for the return of Jesus. And I want to follow what God says in His Word. And I would that you remember me in prayer, that I would have a sense of expectancy in my life and looking for Jesus Christ to come. It's not there right now in my life as it should be. And I would that you remember me in prayer. Would you lift your hand up right where you're at? I just want to remember you in prayer this morning. Say, Pastor, I'm really not looking and longing for the return of Christ as I should. And I would that you remember me in prayer. Anybody at all while we wait? I wonder if there'd be those here who say, Pastor, I'm not ready just because I'm not in a right relationship with the Lord. I'm just not where I ought to be. I know that, and I know God knows that. And I would that you remember me in prayer, that I will get myself right with God so that I'll be ready when Jesus comes. I would that you remember me in prayer, Pastor. There's some areas in my life I need to just get right with God in. And I would that you remember me in prayer. Just lift your hand up and put it right back down while we wait. Anybody at all while we wait. And now, Father, I thank you for the power of your word. Help us to live longing and looking for the return of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, we love. May that be true in our life. May we develop a daily time with you. Help us this week, every day, to wake up and say, this may be the day that Jesus may come. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's stand together. Tina's going to begin to play through right now. All to Jesus, I surrender. If you want to come and take some time and pray and say, Lord, just help me to be ready. Help me to be ready for the coming of Jesus. You come. There were those that were anticipating His first coming. They waited many years. We know not when Jesus is going to come again, but He's coming. This morning, won't you just step out and say, Lord, help me. Help me to be ready. You come. If you're not saved, come today. Let us help you. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. She plays through one more verse. You respond to the working of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. And Father, how I thank you this morning for being so good to us, and thank you for the many promises that we can stand on in these days in which we live. And how I thank you for the confidence that we can have on a daily basis, because our hope is in you, our faith is in you, and your word does tell us, if you would, we've read the back of the book and we win. And I thank you for that. Because it's a victory that you have already secured. And help us this week to live in the victory. Thank you so much for the privilege that we've had to be together. Bring us back safely again tonight as we look into your word and let it change us from the inside out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.